God is good. And all the time. Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you. Hey, is it warming up outside? Not yet. Is that breeze still blowing, pushing the humidity away, huh? I don't know. But anyway. Well, my name is Eric Dirks, and I do welcome you today. It is great to see each and every one of you. Thank you for your presence as we celebrate Promotion Sunday, and it's when our kids in Sunday school are moving up to the next grade, and believe it or not, now I always like worship to be uplifting, but you know, school starts for teachers tomorrow, and Wednesday is when the students go back to school, so I don't want to depress any of the youth or kids here today. Oh, okay. But anyway, today is the day that, so next week they'll be going to their next higher grade here in Sunday school, the Sunday school program. So we celebrate that today, and our third graders get a new Bible, which is really awesome, and just to help them along the way. So we can celebrate all that with them today. If you would open up your bulletin with me real quick here. There are a couple things that are really important. I mean, everything's important, but coming up in September, and it's only a month away, folks, September 12th through the 16th is our 160th anniversary, or when we're celebrating our 160th anniversary. We're calling it our 160th homecoming. And again, make sure that you're talking that up and inviting people to it. We want it just to be a great event. If you get the gray insert out of your bulletin, it talks about finding some photos. If you have any photos in that regard, please make sure you get them to us. If you want them copied, let us know so that we can have them there in a collage of pictures, because we want it to be a really special time for us to remember and laugh and talk about former days in the church. So please do that if you would. Take a look in your own books and bring them to the church so that we can copy them and have them as a part of that celebration. It'll be a lot of fun down in the harbor, so put it on your calendar, September 12th through the 16th. Now, also, commemorative Christmas ornament. Make sure that you read that. These are really beautiful. And so if you want to give them as gifts or keep them as for yourself, just read that right there, and it is going to be a great time in that regard. All of these things are very important, so please don't think, since I'm lifting up some, they're more important than others, but those are two dated things that we really need to be thinking about over the next month. Tonight is the Ignite pool party, so make sure if you are a parent or grandparent or aunt or uncle of a youth that they know about that, and we'll be here at the church, meet here at the church at 5 o'clock so that they can do that. So one other thing that I got my 8 o'clock bulletin for, that you notice the other insert in there is that we are having our pictures taken for the directory. Now, believe it or not, we just got a directory our first year here. But as I look in that directory, a lot of families have changed. If you have children, they have changed a lot in 3 or 4 years. And so even if you don't feel that you've changed that much, we sure appreciate it if you get your picture taken so that we can have that as a part of the directory. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost the church anything. But yet we have those directories so that we can, like for this 160th, we can have a memory of what was going on at this point in our church, and also you can see a face of who you're calling when you need to get a hold of them. September 1st through the 3rd and 7th through the 9th, from 2 to 9:20 is when pictures are going to be taken. September 1st through the 3rd and 7th through the 9th, from 2 p.m. to 9:20 p.m. We have sign-up sheets out here in the entryway, so make sure that you sign up for that. Obviously, you can buy pictures from that. They invite you to do that, to buy pictures to hang on your walls at home. So think about that as well. Typically, they are very nice, classy pictures. I've been very happy with them in recent years. So, all right. Everybody ready for an awesome worship service today?
Yes.
Okay. Well, as we begin to place our hearts and our minds and our spirits in a place to worship God and get away from the busyness for a while of the week and gather our thoughts and prayers. Marion is going to share with us the prelude today.
Please stand for our songs of praise. I believe you'll find them on screen.
You all know this song well. Join with us. Sing loud to God today. Let's get those hands going.
Who am I that you are mindful of me? You are thinking of me.
God, we come before you today to celebrate the things that you do in our lives, Lord. We just give you thanks and praise for the small and the large things, God. Those things that we take for granted and may not even notice, to the big things in our life that we can't help but see your amazing grace at work, God. We thank you so much for the gift of worship and the fact that we can come together as a church community and celebrate you, Lord. We thank you for the life that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for how you work through us to affect other lives. And as we come together today, we ask for your powerful, powerful anointing to be upon us, God. Fill this place full of your powerful Holy Spirit. Wash us clean of our sins. Shine your light in those dark corners of our lives. Make all evil and negative thoughts run from this place, God, in Jesus' name. So that as we come together, we truly can focus on you, that we truly can feel your presence. We truly, Lord, can worship you, the creator of all that is, all that ever has been, and all that ever will be. The creator that knew each of us before we were born, who knew our names, who has awesome plans for each one of us. We give you praise, God. So be with us today. Make us one with each other and one with you in Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. Amen.
Kids' Corner this morning will be presented by Dee Grable. Come on down, kids.
I do. morning. I am so happy to be here to share with you today. So as I was thinking about what I could talk to you guys about, I thought, you know, school is about ready to start, right? And with the lazy days of summer gone, I thought it would be a good time to start thinking about responsibility. We are going to do that in just a minute, okay? So, can anybody tell me what the word responsibility means? Well, Jesus, yeah, he likes us to be responsible, but what? Can anybody think what it might mean? Well, I think that responsibility means doing what you're supposed to do. And as I was thinking about being responsible, I found a really neat verse in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, and it says, "Think about the ants, you lazy bones, and learn from them." And I thought, you know what? If God said we should look at the ants and learn from them, then that's probably a good thing to do, don't you think? So as I was preparing for this lesson, I was studying the ants. And do you know what? Are ants big or are they small? They're small. But did you know that ants can lift 5 times their body weight? I can't do that. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And ants also spend a lot of time gathering their food, and they spend a lot of time taking care of their homes. But you know what else? Ants are very, very smart. If an ant can't do something, do you know what it does? It asks another ant for help. Now, they don't talk like you and I do. They have these little feelers, and they touch their feelers to each other, and they ask for help. And they know if they work together, they can not only gather more food, but they can get a lot more done. Now, I think that's a pretty neat thing to do. And as we're thinking about getting ready for school and getting ready to do some things that maybe make us be more responsible, we should think about how we can help our moms, our dads, our families, and what we could do at school to make things go better. Now, even though you're small, I bet you have parts to do in your families. And you can think about how you can help your moms and your dads, and even at school, to be more responsible. Now, I would like us to think about something. Do you think it makes your mom and dad happy, your families happy, when you do your part? It does. It does. It makes my family work a lot better if I do my part. But do you know what else it does? It makes God smile when we all work together. So I think a good way for us to pray as we are going into this fall and as we're getting ready to start some new things, let's pray that we be more like the ants. What do you think? You think that's a good way to pray? I think so too. So should we pray now? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you teach us how to be and you give us the power to be that way. And I just ask that this fall we would choose to be more like you want us to be. I thank you for these children. In your name I pray. Amen.
The children will be collecting change for missions or apportionments during this hymn. The song of praise is "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder," found on page 418 of your blue hymnal.
Jacob's ladder, we are climbing Jacob's ladder, so true.
You know, I don't know if you all noticed, but we have some children leading our service, ushers and greeters and scripture readers. And so, yes, that is amazing. And hey, hi, buddy. And one other thing, we always do our best to help you know what ministries take place in the church if you're not, around these particular types of ministries. And children is one. And one thing that happened in our youth group last week, last Sunday night, is called Yuck Night. So just think about that for a minute. And Yuck Night is a lot of fun, and the youth have to wear old clothes, and so do the adults that go.
I'm glad I missed that session. We have a number of joys and concerns, mostly joys this morning. If you've seen John and Jean Stewart this morning, you've seen a kind of an odd smile on their faces. They're celebrating the arrival of their great-granddaughter, who was born August 9, and is named Anolo. Congratulations. How many did you say that makes now? Seven? Six? Ooh. Also, Joe and Lois DePue celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary on Wednesday, August 11th, with their four children from four different states. Their family, their new Warsaw neighbors, and friends all have returned home safely, and that's a joy. And Hannah Vaughn and Tyler Yock will be married this afternoon at Tabernacle Pentecostal Church at 3 p.m., Hannah would be honored to have people from her church family attend the celebration of their union. Please see Rebecca Hoover, her mother, after the second service for directions to the church. Also, check out Jonna Hoover's new shorter hair. She donated her hair last night at Relay for Life. And how many here remember Dr. Scully and his wife, Liz? I'm sure that there are a number here who doctored with Doc Scully a number of years ago when they were here, but they wiped out on a motorcycle accident in Dallas a little over a week ago, and she's out of the hospital now, and he's still in the hospital in critical condition. I'm sure that they would both appreciate your prayers. Now, last but not least, Paul Dirks has been selected to be on the Conference Council on Youth Ministries. 60 youth are chosen from the 900 United Methodist Churches in Missouri. This group plans and leads all of the conference-level youth events for Missouri, including being at annual conference. Congratulations, Paul. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for all the good news, all of the new life brought into the world, all of the good things happening to people, the marriages and friends and all these nice events. We ask that you would be there in these events and bless them with your presence. We also ask that you would be with Bruce and Liz Scully as they get over this accident that they had in Dallas here a few days ago. And there are others in our minds and in our hearts that we carry in our concerns this morning. We would ask also that you address these concerns and heal where necessary. Now go with us today as we hear your word. Open our hearts and minds to your message. And as we leave this morning, take that message with us. We ask that you would imprint that message on our lives so that we may serve you better. These things in Jesus' name, amen. Our word and song be presented by Madeline and Logan Shockman, God of Wonder. Thank you.
all creation. On earth and sky, the heavens are your tabernacles. Keep the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond all galaxies, you are holy, holy. Universe declares your majesty.
Wow. Wow. This is a special day as we celebrate our children and all the accomplishments and all the things that they do and that God is calling them to do in their life. And anyway, we are going to celebrate not only the kids and their promotion this morning, but also we want to share with you the teachers that have led them this last year. And we have some other awards to be handed out as well in that regard. So want to invite Deanna to come forward and let us...
Well, we just want to take this opportunity to recognize our Sunday school teachers and our preschool teacher. Our Sunday school teachers for kindergarten or preschool and kindergarten are Shanda Miller. If you guys would stand up and be recognized. Shanda Miller and Debbie Chapin. Is Debbie here? She's probably at Relay for Life. First through third is Holly and Mitzi Colton. Mitzi's not here today, but Holly's in the back. Shanda's in the back, too. And then our fourth and fifth grade teachers are June Sterling and Julie Bunch. So, you know, rather than just dropping your kids off in the mornings, come down and take a moment and get to know their teachers. It's important that you build that relationship with them as well as your children building that relationship with them. And then finally, our 6th through 12th grade teachers are Jody Carr, right there, and Debbie Bunch. And then finally, I don't want to be remiss, it's not up on the screen, but Dee Grable, who led the Kids Corner today, she's still here. Where is she at? She would stand up. She's our preschool teacher of our 3- and 4-year-olds. So I just want to say thank you very much for all that you guys do in educating our children. So now we're going to present the Bibles to our incoming third graders. So when we say your name, if you'd come forward and accept your Bible. And it's got lots of fun activities in it. I mean, it's not...
I feel like Vanna White.
Yeah. It's a really, really great kids' Bible.
That was wrong? Oh, okay, all right, thanks. I didn't get approval from Jamie before I did that. So
first we have Allie Campbell.
Come on down.
Now we're at The Price is Right.
I am just a mixture of things.
Stephen Dirks. There is Stephen in the back. Aaron Derflinger. Cassidy Ferolito. I don't know if Tilden is here. I didn't see him. It would be Tilden Hickleston, but I don't think he's here today. Allison Poole. And Madeline Shockman.
There we go. Here you go. Well, I just want to congratulate you all so much. This is a very important book now. You all have learned about this in Sunday school already, haven't you? But the Bible is a very important book. It will guide you in your life, and make sure you spend some time every day at least reading a sentence or two out of your Bible, okay? And so that I like to do it in the morning, and that way my day is started off just right, okay? So whenever you get this, there's all sorts of things in here. There's a lot of fun stuff. I wish whenever I was your age, I had this kind of stuff in the Bible. How about that, guys? See, look at all that cool stuff. And see, it talks about some things down here. It describes some things that are up here in the scripture part. So make sure that now all of you know, right, where is the New Testament in your Bible? It's in the very back, right? All right, that's the easiest stuff to read is the New Testament. Okay, so yeah, there you go. See, look, right here. It's in the very back of your Bible. All right, so anyway, make sure that you read this. That the Bible says that it is a lamp, a light to your path. A light to your path. So make sure that you allow it to be a light to your path. And I suggest all of us allow that. Amen? All right, we have a little something that we're a response to our kids, and let's all say this together, and we're saying this for you all, okay? We rejoice in this step in your journey with God. We pray God will guide you, your family, and us as you use this Holy Bible in your home, in your Sunday school classes, and in your worship. We will learn together and grow in our love for God's Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. Give me 5. All right. Yeah. Give me 5. All right. Thanks, guys. You may be seated.
I forgot to mention earlier the concern that we have for Janice Hughes, who had a stroke a week or so ago and is still in the hospital in Columbia recovering from that stroke. Keep her and all of those on this prayer list in your prayers.
Thank you. Yes, take that home. Keep it by your prayer chair. Cliff prepared some study guides. I'm going to start calling that Cliff Notes. Do you think that's a good idea? Yeah. But anyway, keep that by your prayer chair as well. It's just a little devotional to help you think and get you on your feet for the day. So, yes. Jody, come on down. We have a lot of youth and children that lead our service that you may not even realize sometimes, and Jody's going to recognize some of those.
Good morning. I wanted to recognize two young men that have served our church as acolytes for several years now, and that is Paul Dirks and Tyler Summers. Come on down. These two young men will be freshmen this next year and typically do not acolyte any longer after that, so we want to thank them for their years of service and willingness to serve our church. Tyler?
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Jody. Appreciate your leadership in their life as well. All right, we are reading from the book of Mark today in your Bibles. And we have a couple young men who are going to lead us, one in the Bible pledge, Zachary, and David's going to read us the scriptures this morning. So if you guys want to get ready, but it's Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we'll begin with verse 13. Once you find that, I invite you to close the Bible on your finger and stand as Zachary leads us in the Bible pledge. Let's raise those Bibles high above our head. It's all you, Zach.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them.
Here is the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it. You know, I asked Deanna if she wanted to preach this morning since it was Promotion Sunday, and for some reason she didn't want to. I don't get that. But to start us off today, I have a clip for you this morning. So let's watch it and then we'll begin.
Dad. You don't know it right now, but I'm watching you. Watching the things you do. I'm watching the way you treat people. The way you treat me and my mom and my sister. The way you live your life is having a big impact on me. When it's time for me to choose a career and provide for my family, your work ethic will be on my mind. The time you spend with me, even doing simple things, will give me a sense of security. There will be times in my life where I struggle with integrity. And I may be not sure what to do. But I will recall how you stood up for what was right, even if you could have looked the other way. many of the choices you are making, I will also make. Please don't be afraid to show me your failures, to show me your mistakes. I will learn from them. Dad, are you listening? I'm watching. Watching to see if you really believe what you say about God. I need you to help show me the way. Show me how to live life that isn't safe, but is good. So I'm watching you, Dad. Every day. You're teaching me how to live, whether you know it or not.
I'm watching you. I'm watching you. You know, I often wonder, what do children and youth see in me? Do they see someone who loves them, someone who wants the best for them? Do they feel safe and empowered? Do you ever think about these things? When kids watch you, what is it that they see? How about this church? When kids, youth and children watch us, what do they see? Do they feel respected and listened to and wanted? Does this church help them reach the full potential that God created them to be? When kids are talking, do we look around and say, wait, did someone say something? Is that what we say when kids speak in this church? You know, we cannot literally say that, but yet we can say that anyway. You understand what I mean? I'm watching you, the boy in the video said. Kids are watching us. And what are they seeing? What is it that they're seeing? In their research, marine biologists report that great white sharks in their natural habitat have the potential of reaching 3,500 pounds and 20 feet in length. Now, here's the interesting thing that they discovered during a study of great white sharks. They discovered that when a great white shark was raised in captivity in a small aquarium, that even though a great white shark has the God-given capacity to grow to more than 20 feet and more than 3,500 pounds, when confined in a small aquarium, it would only reach 12 to 15 inches in length and only weigh 15 to 20 pounds. They discovered even though it would have reached full maturity for its age, it was still stunted in its growth. It would be well short of reaching its full potential otherwise. A second experiment that marine biologists conducted may be closer to home. It was a study of northern pike. We all know what pikes look like, or most of us do anyway. They are long, thin fish, and if you catch a small one, sometimes you think you got a snake on your hook because of the way they move, right? Whenever they're first hooked. They're long, slender, tubular-type fish. In the experiment, whenever it was feeding time, the marine biologist would dump a large bucket of minnows in the tank where the pike was. The pike would swim rapidly around the tank, gobbling up the fish. And I mean, before long, all the minnows were gone because the pike devoured them all. Now, here's what they did to the pike. So stick with me here. They decided to lower a glass cylinder slowly into the tank surrounding the pike. All right? So they lowered this glass cylinder around the pike. And the next thing they did was they, at regular feeding time, dumped the minnows outside of that cylinder. All right? So here's the pike inside the cylinder, and the minnows that he's used to, or she, I don't know which, is used to feeding on, is outside the cylinder. Well, immediately, the northern pike started bumping that cylinder trying to get to those fish, right? And it bumped that cylinder, that glass cylinder, because it couldn't see it with its eyes. It kept bumping that cylinder until finally it stopped. It gave up. And all that really moved was its fins to stay where it was in the water. Well, then what they did is they took that glass cylinder out slowly, lifted that glass cylinder out. And the minnows started swimming around the northern pike. But the pike just stood there. Stood there. You know what I mean? Stayed there. And what really amazed them, even after a long time of being out of that cylinder and having those minnows swim around it freely, the pike starved to death. The pike starved to death. It really was an amazing study to them, and that may not seem very important to you at all, but you know, the pike giving up many times has a lot to do with us, doesn't it? Our scripture today that David read for us is in a section of Mark where Jesus is teaching his disciples in a closed-door session, so to speak. Jesus has a picture lesson for his disciples. He set a child among them in chapter 9. I don't know if you might remember that. And before we can understand this picture lesson, I've told you this before in the past, but just in case, there's some cultural issues that you have to know about this scripture. First of all, Jesus is teaching in a multi-generational house that is probably full of kids running around the hustle and bustle of life. And here Jesus and his disciples are trying to have a serious, deep theological conversation, right, in this closed-door session of conference, so to speak. So here they are, and the kids are running and screaming and running by. And also, you need to understand that in the Greco-Roman world, as well as in the Jewish world, children were thought of as unbridled bits of chaos. They were not considered naive or innocent or sweet or trusting. Ancients regarded children as terrible nuisances who were to be disciplined until they grow up into reasonable adults. Reasonable adults. They had no status. They possessed no power to give them position, and they definitely had no place in a circle with a great teacher like Jesus. However, Jesus does something that only Jesus could demonstrate. And if you can picture in your mind for me, just a minute, we're still in Mark 9. If you could picture in your mind, here's this hustle and bustle of this house. You know, in this day and age, the screen door's slamming all the time. All right, you getting this picture in your mind? And Jesus and his disciples are in this tight-knit circle trying to have this Bible study, right? Don't get me wrong, it wasn't the King James Version. Don't even leave this place saying that. It was the Old Testament, right? What we call the Old Testament. Having this Bible study, this teaching session, and all of a sudden when this kid runs through, Jesus reaches out and grabs him and pulls him into the circle and sets him on his lap. All right? And Jesus says this, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Mark 9:37. Well, what does that mean? Well, without getting into a long spiel here, the primary thing that means is God and Jesus Christ demonstrates gracious acceptance of people who are incapable of doing anything which they could say they deserve God's generosity. Does that make sense? Jesus is saying to the disciples, this child represents what you need to be. This child represents who you need to be. God just graciously gives to all. Finally, the disciples manage to understand, don't they? After that, they had no arguments about who's going to be first in the kingdom of God. They had no arguments about who's going to sit at Jesus' right hand and who's going to sit at Jesus' left hand. They were in full agreement, and they understood Jesus' teachings at that point, didn't they? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's listen again just a little over a chapter later. Actually, less than a chapter later. Mark 10:13. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. Those same disciples, all right? The disciples shooed them off. But Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this, Jesus said, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. What does this tell us? Yes, it does speak of how we can't use works to be righteous or to enter the kingdom of heaven. It does speak of how nothing that we could ever do would make us worthy to enter the kingdom of heaven. It does speak how we should learn from children and how we are blessed and we should receive children. But it also tells us that Jesus loved children and that we are to do all we can to protect and bring children into a relationship with Jesus and help them reach their full God-given potential. And the question I have for us this morning is, the questions are, one, how are we doing that? How are you personally helping First United Methodist Church of Warsaw get that done? Deanna and I have had that conversation more than just about anything else in the 3 years that I've been at this church. How can we not only get children in Sunday school? I mean, we had, I believe I counted 30 kids here at Kids Corner. And we probably average 10 in Sunday school. How can we get kids to come, but not only, how can we get parents to bring them? That is a conversation we've had over and over and over again. And I guess today, for the first time since I've been here, I'm asking you, what are you doing to help in this? What are you doing? And of course, you know, when we say the church, who is the church? Huh? Yeah, you are. So I can talk about the church and you understand the implication, right? All right. So are we as a church like the glass cylinder that was put around the pike? Are we limiting our children or are we helping them reach their full potential? I'm just pausing because I really want you to think about that. This is a very serious question in the life of this church. Are we the glass cylinder around the pike, or are we actually helping our children and our youth grow? What are you personally doing to help First Church in this endeavor? Because obviously it was extremely important to our Savior, right? Jesus, that's what I'm talking about, right? All right. So it was extremely important to Him. Several times He talks about children in His ministry. Tell me something. What is it that He says it's better for you? If you mislead a child, what does He say? It's better for you to what? Have what tied around your neck and thrown into the sea? He was really serious about children, wasn't he? So my question today, I mean, it's not a judgmental thing, it's an honest question. What are you doing to help First UMC help children and youth reach their full potential in Jesus? Well, just real quick, I have three things, three words. They're all three A words. If you want to get out your pen and write them down, I welcome that. In order to help them reach their full potential and be all they can be, they have to be awakened to their identity. They have to be awakened to their identity. The prodigal son serves as an excellent example. After he had squandered away everything his father had given him, he was broke, busted, his life was disgusting, living and eating with pigs. The Bible says he came to himself. Now, for years I read over that. And if you've come to newcomers class, which by the way, every single person in this church is welcome, right? Now, you will hear me talk about this. I want you to, anybody here ever been a part of, seen a pig pen? Maybe raised hogs, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's a very clean place, isn't it? No, it's not. This man was feeding pigs. Now, for a Jew, that's a whole other sermon, all right, which I'm not going to get into. But he was feeding pigs, and he was so hungry that he wanted to eat the pods that he was feeding the pigs. Now, you have to understand, when you throw feed down, I mean, you have to be careful. At least in Northwest Missouri, if you left young piglings in the lot, the mom could eat them. Right? Why do you think the Jews think pigs are the lowest? They're even lower than Gentiles on their, right? Back in Jesus' day, yeah. So, I mean, they would eat everything that was on the ground. And can you picture this man on his knees in the pig lot? With in my mind, slops coming up, right? Mid-thigh. And Luke 15 says, he came to himself. You ever been there? In that proverbial pig pen? You see, he was awakened to his identity. He said, you know what? My father has people working for him that are better off than I am. I'm going to go back. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. And all I'm going to say is, Dad, can I be your servant? Because I know I'll live better then than I am now. Right? He was awakened to who he was. He was awakened to his identity. Children and youth, if you know who you are a child of the Most High God. And guess what that means? You have awesome potential. God has placed in you a seed of potential that we can't even define, Riley and David. Right? I mean, that goes for all of us, but today we're recognizing children, right? I mean, do we know maybe one of these kids will be the president someday? Of course, we wouldn't wish that on anyone, so maybe there'll be something else. But no, seriously, I mean, we don't know, guys, what God has in store. The values that you are printing in these children will be the values that they carry with them the rest of their life. Do we understand that? What are you doing to help these children and youth find their full potential in Jesus Christ? Do we fully understand? No, I don't think we can, but are you trying to understand what you personally, yes, I mean you and me, are doing in the lives of children and youth in this church and in this community? By the time kids are 11, 12, 13, by the time we were 11, 12, 13, we had a set of values that we are still basing our decisions on. Awakened to their identity, and their potential is unlimited. Amen? The second A is aware. I'm sorry if I'm getting out of control, but I tell you what, kids are awesome. Youth is amazing. Kids have to be aware of the possibilities. The shark was limited because it conformed to its confinement. The shark conformed to its confinement. Children and youth, some of you think that you can't do this or that because you're too little, you're too big, you're too short, you're too tall, you're too dark, you're too light. You can't do this or that because you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, or simply because you don't deserve it. You believe. Right. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say that together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Youth, I want to hear you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Others may think that because of your status in your life or your situation at home, that there is nothing you can do about it. Hogwash! You are the created one of the Most High. God, the creator of all that is and ever will be, knew you before you were born. God knew your name. God had awesome plans for you. Do you understand that? All things work together for good for those who love God and those called according to His purpose. And because of these things, you have the power to free your mind. Boy, there's that word again. Freedom. Jesus died on the cross for our what? Jesus died on the cross for our what? Jesus died on the cross for our what? Let's live like it. You have the power to free your mind. You have the power to renew your mind. You have the power to break through the limitations imposed upon you and reach your full potential. And that goes for all of us. And as we look at the children and youth of this church, it goes for us double as we let the youth and children know that. The third and final is alive. Kids have to be alive to their responsibilities. You know what? To me, that's right. Kids know they have responsibility. They know it. Kids know they have responsibilities to themselves, to their parents, to their friends, to their brothers and sisters, to their communities, to society, to football, to basketball, to track, to cheerleading, to band, to choir, to where do we stop? But they're supposed to read the Bible 30 minutes a day, right? You know, one thing that people in other faiths, I think, have better than Christianity. You know what? If we were in other faiths, if we were walking through Walmart at certain times of the day, guess what we would do? We would stop and pray. Oh, Eric, I wouldn't want to do that. There are some faiths out there that actually believe that they want to die for their faith. Do you want to die for your faith? While you're in the middle of the grocery store, while you're in the middle of Walmart, when you're out here on the sidewalk, if it becomes whatever time, are you going to stop and get down on your knees and pray to the one who created you, who the one who loves you, the one who gave his son for you? Are you going to pray for that, for God? Or are we too embarrassed about that? You see, I think other faiths have some things better than we do. And I'm not happy about that either. I guess another question, if you're in your home, do you stop at certain times of the day and get on your knees and pray? But when you're by yourself, nobody else around? We have to be alive, all of us, to our responsibilities. You know, the victim mentality is over in my book. Any psychologist that claims that, I think, needs to be fired. We are adults. And when people watch us and our victim mentalities, when kids, children, youth watch us and our victim mentality, what is that telling them? Right? Our most important thing, children and youth, our most important thing, your most important thing is you have to be responsible to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? There are a lot of things that happen that have shaped you. And a lot of things aren't positive, correct? If you're over 20 years old, more than likely, some bad things have happened to you to shape your life. I'm not saying those aren't bad things. really not. Some of those are terrible things. Some things that have happened to you all, the rest of us would like, oh my gosh, how can they be so happy and joy-filled all the time when that happened to them? Right? Our most important responsibility is to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Church, many of our children and youth are starving for a four-letter word. Anybody know what that four-letter word is? Oh, you guys are good. Love is right. They're starving for love. And you know what? You know the old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. A lot of them are looking for love in all the wrong places. Whether it's drugs or sex, whether it's, I don't even know where to go from there. Alcohol, right? Computers now, pornography, looking for love in all the wrong places. Our children, our youth, and we as well, correct? We want someone to show us genuine love. A love that we don't have to give anything. It's just a genuine concern, a genuine love. That's what all of us are looking for, right? So many kids, so many youth are emotionally hungry. They're spiritually hungry. And as a church, will we stand around saying, oh, wait, like the boy in the film, are you listening, Dad? Did you hear him say that? Are you listening, Dad? When our children, when our youth talk, are we going to say, wait, did someone just say something? Again, we don't have to literally, those words don't have to come out of our mouths, do they? The way we react to our children and our youth tell them that we're saying, wait, did somebody just say something? You understand what I'm saying there? Awaken to their identity. Kids have to be aware of the possibilities. And kids have to be alive to their responsibilities. So, what are you going to do to help First United Methodist Church care for children and youth? It's up to you. Let's pray. Dear God, you truly are an amazing God. It is hard to believe the way you bless us each and every day in so many ways. And dear God, we celebrate the children and the youth of this church. What amazing humans they are. It humbles me that I can hang out with them every once in a while. Dear God, I just ask that we as a church are tentative to our children and our youth, that we listen and that we react to their words and their ideas. And dear God, you know, I really ask in Jesus' name that you bother us, that you make us uncomfortable, that you give us courage and energy to actually make changes, Lord. So kids, both children and youth, know that we are listening and we care and we have a genuine love for them. So as we celebrate children and youth today, we just want to lift you up, God, and give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, would you please stand? We'll sing a song probably you never heard before. Jesus loves the little children. If you're able, would you stand with us as we sing together?
Closing song is the chorus of Friend of God. It's on the screen.
Let's close off getting those hands going. Singing as loud as we can and believing that we are a friend of God.
I am a friend of God.
When you sing that, I am a friend of God, do you really believe that down deep in your soul? I hope you do. I really hope you do. Go from this place believing that. And you know what? Like John Wesley said, if you have a little trouble with your faith, he told his preachers, keep preaching it. Keep preaching faith, and that'll help your belief. Keep saying, I am a friend of God. In those moments, whenever you're just having a really tough day, say, I am a friend of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Say it over and over. Say it until you believe it. Because you know what? You are a friend of God. God calls you friend. So go from this place lifted high, knowing that you have tremendous potential in Jesus' holy name. Knowing that as you cross paths with people in your life, you make a difference in their life. You bring healing and wholeness to their life that you just don't even realize. So today, go in Jesus' name and make a difference in the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shalom to you. Amen.